Well, hello there, and welcome to episode 221 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. Now, this one's going to be a little out of the usual, out of the norm. We actually recorded this one early, so this is me recording the intro as well. We had Merce, Jet, Sword Agent, and myself all playing Civ and talking Transformers. So something a little lighter as you're processing the food post-Thanksgiving, just to put it out there and have it ready, and off it goes. So we'll see you on the other side, and hop on in.
So, Transformers 1... and Transformers in general on this special edition, I believe a lot has, a particular Merce has a lot to say on the matter. So why don't you give us our launching points?
So, Transformers 1.
That was a mistake.
I'm going to go into a basic plot synopsis. Transformers 1 is basically the Transformers origin story. This is the explanation behind the war that leads to the destruction of Cybertron, that leads to the Transformers getting to Earth. This is that point. It explains Optimus and Megatron's relationship, their falling out. And needless to say, honestly, although this is a story that has been told multiple times in multiple variations, this is probably the best way Transformers has ever told this specific story.
Michael Bay did it better.
Michael Bay didn't tell this specific Transformers story.
Wasn't okay. He like a guest producer on the movie or something, though, actually?
Yes, he was.
Ha, he did tell the story. Which does make my comment make no sense, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, that's me handing the mic over to all of you.
Okay. Well, I was starting to rewatch it just tonight because I knew this was coming. And the Easter eggs for my generation, since I grew up with the Gen 1 in syndication, it's so wonderful. Like the 1986 Alita commenting to Orion, "You have neither the touch nor the power," near the beginning. It brings a smile to my face every single time, because that's such an iconic scene when Optimus is rolling in to Autobot City. And that song starts up. It's fantastic.
If you're a Transformers fan, you're eating good on the Easter eggs.
Exactly.
There are so many Blink and You'll Miss It cameos, so many... Like, especially during the race scene, every single character on that board is a pre-existing character. All of the random background characters, like, especially one detail I liked was a large portion of the 84 original G1 Autobot crew were miners. Like, you can just see them working in the mines during, well, especially during Optimus' big speech. But, actually, I don't know where I'm going.
But,
well, Jazz is in there, for example. I know he names them, right?
Oh, yeah, Jazz gets named pretty early on. He was the bot that Optimus and Orion and D-16 rescued from the collapsing mine tunnel.
Right. Yeah, I knew Jazz's name was, like, one of the first ones, so... which is just such a lovely touch.
Oh yeah. If you're this movie is clearly like it's beginner friendly, but it's also very, very clear how like well read up the people making the movie were behind Transformers and how much effort was put into the movie, which makes sense because this movie was originally being developed back in 2012.
Yep. Geez, really? So it was in development hell for a little bit.
Yeah, if you wonder why, like, for example, characters from Transformers Prime, like the Viacons and Arachnid, are such major factors in the movie, that's why. This was originally meant to come out alongside Transformers Prime.
Okay.
Interesting.
Still think Prime is overrated, but...
All right.
I always liked Prime.
You're kind of a very America guy.
I like Transformers Rescue Bots. That's where it's at.
Now you're just trolling.
No, that is an unironic opinion he holds.
It is. I like that show.
Oh, legitimately.
Prime was good.
Yeah. Because, I'm trying to remember that one specifically. But.
Obviously, the Transformers TV show rankings goes Rescue Bots, Cybertron, and then the OG.
I want to point out, you guys were worried about me shifting gears, but we almost immediately abandoned the topic of TF1 to just talking about other random Transformers media.
Yeah, I hear you.
Sometimes it be that way.
I like Optimus giving people the middle finger in TF1 to get back on topic.
Yeah.
Also satisfying.
I'll admit, the comedy was a lot better than I expected. There were a lot more actual jokes that made me chuckle, and a lot less, well,
Badassatron.
Yeah, thank you, hun. Be saying Badassatron.
Badassatron.
Well, now let's talk about how well picked out some of these voice actors were.
Oh yeah.
For these roles.
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth did fantastic.
Honestly, Bumblebee's actor was probably the most questionable choice.
Isn't it Keegan-Michael Key?
Yeah, I think he was the most questionable choice. He wasn't bad, but he just definitely wasn't as good as the rest of his cast.
But he still did fantastic at it. Especially with, as previously stated, the line of Badassatron.
Badassatron. Yeah?
Voice Megatron again.
Megatron was another highlight.
Who did voice Megatron, though?
Let me look that up quick. Who voiced Megatron Transformers 1? That was Brian Tyree Henry.
Okay, so I'm not familiar with their work at all.
So, he is in Eternals.
He's the tech guy, right?
Yes, he plays Fastos in Eternals. But then it also looks like he was in... He's in Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse. He will be in Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Who'd he play there?
He was... Where's his name? He played Jefferson Davis, so that would be Miles' dad.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But no, yeah. the voice acting cast for that movie was wonderful.
I especially love what Chris Hemsworth did slowly going into the more slowly getting more and more Peter Cullen with his Orion performance until straight up Optimus just sounds like he did in G1, but if he was younger.
Huh.
I agree with that. By the end of the movie, he sounds like the Optimus we know.
Absolutely. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah.
Got hints of it as it went on. It just got more and more prominent.
Yeah, it got more stoic, more heroic, so on and so forth.
Yep. That's a really good point.
The biggest part of the movie I don't like is the fact that Megatron just lets Optimus go, though. Everything about Megatron's downfall in this movie is so well handled, but I don't think that Megatron letting him go after he shoots him worked for me. And I thought that that did seem sudden compared to the rest of his downfall.
I think the big thing that hurt that specific aspect of Megatron's, the thing that probably would have helped is if we would have gotten more prominent scenes of Orion kind of basically grinding Megatron down and Megatron going out of his way, risking his own skin to save Optimus. If they would have done that more, him letting him go would have been infinitely more impactful and less sudden. Because it really feels like only two incidents.
It would have hurt a lot worse to see.
I agree with that. Now, again, though, everything else about Megatron's downfall was handled beautifully in this movie. I do believe that. But that one moment does make me slightly sour. Not sour enough to not like the movie, but it does stick out to me.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I will admit, it does do a better job at connecting Optimus and Megatron's relationship just in general, because in most continuities, up until basically they're already Optimus and Megatron, they tend not to know each other.
Hmm.
So the fact... Yeah, so the fact that we actually get to see that the whole details behind the two of them helps make what everyone knows is happening a lot more impactful.
Yeah, the whole we were brothers once, and I forget which one of the live-action Michael Bay movies. The one line they drop and reference it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Wasn't it in Dark of the Moon?
I think so. I think that was when...
Wasn't it when
Optimus was executing Megatron?
Yeah, just after he had executed Sentinel. Right at the end of the movie, wasn't it?
That's
oh, man. Right. It has been so long since I saw that one.
Guys, I really only remember the first two in Bumblebee. So...
Because the problem is, some of those Michael Bays after the first one would literally put me to sleep every single time I tried to watch it.
Yeah. The same thing happened to me, and I think we tried watching them together, didn't we?
We did, and we both fell asleep.
That's funny.
Like the
last night,
We tried rewatching the series a couple of times, and we always got through the first two movies.
Yeah. Yeah, the first two movies, no problem.
Something about Dark of the Moon, I don't know.
Is that the one with the butler that's got a screw loose?
No, that...
I love him.
I think that's The Last Night.
That's The Last Night.
I love him.
What's his name? Cogman?
Cogsworth?
Cognig.
I think it's Cogman.
Okay.
And
taking the fish around.
For him being a headmaster, that was... I liked that part of that movie. He was funny.
If you want to ask me, unironically, how you should have watched The Last Night, look up a compilation of all of Cogman's scenes, and look up a compilation of all of Nitro Zeus's scenes. Congratulations, you've seen the only good parts of The Last Night.
Nitro Zeus was a good addition. That was fun to watch in that movie as well.
But I would agree that the Transformers 1, just to kind of wrap us back, definitely was the perfect way to reintroduce everyone. Like, try to tie the generations together. They gave us the Easter eggs for those of us that are old. But it... Thank you for those chuckles. But it also gave us... just strong introductions.
It was a wonderful beginning for newcomers or the younger generation that are coming into Transformers. But then, as you said, the Easter eggs and a lot of the references from the older stuff is a wonderful addition for those who have been part of the community for many years now and know all of those Easter eggs.
Exactly.
0 out of 10 movie because there was no Ironhide.
Ironhide was in a scene. You can see him in the background with Ratchet.
No speaking lines, so I didn't count it.
Oh.
Well, fair, I suppose.
I guess the big difference maker between a good and a bad character is whether or not they speak. So, bad news for you, Soundwave from Transformers Prime.
Didn't even get far enough in Transformers Prime to see Soundwave, so that shows you how much of that I've watched.
He has a single line in all of Transformers Prime, and you do not need to guess which one it is. It's the most obvious line you can think of for Soundwave.
Isn't it the Decepticon Superior, Autobots Inferior classic, or is it not?
Autobots Inferior, Soundwave Superior.
Ah.
He lets out an ear-piercing squeal.
That's right.
What would you describe it as?
Yep.
We'll admit, there were a couple of things that I found a tad interesting about this version of the Transformers story. Specifically, it retcons some of the, like, big name lore.
Oh yeah, you were mentioning that earlier, something regarding the Primes.
The way the 13 Primes work is usually... it's this whole Greek mythological-esque thing.
I like you.
Yeah. They're like the Olympians, and the whole deal behind them is that Primus made them to fight Unicron. And
okay.
Then Megatronus, he becomes like the Lucifer of Transformers mythology because he turned against Primus and fought with Unicron.
Huh. Okay.
But in this version, that doesn't happen. Instead, they were just betrayed by Sentinel.
Right.
Yeah. Which also does another thing where it kind of shortens the Transformers' lifetime a lot. Like, it's implied the age of the Primes was, like, for the Transformers, at most, a couple decades ago. Of course, proportional to the Transformers, so probably millions of years in the past, but... still, it's weird how compressed the timeline feels.
True, because we get like 50 cycles since that, but we don't know how long a cycle is. They purposefully keep that kind of stuff vague.
I mean, if the idea is that it was 50 years and 50 years feels like a long time to Transformers, oh, buddy, I've got bad news for you. A certain 4 million year long war.
Right.
The time is 8:20 p.m.
Well, with that being the case, actually, is there anything else that's coming to anybody's mind regarding Transformers? Because things actually feel like they're slowing down on commentary, which surprises me.
Are we just talking like Transformers in general, or are we still on TF1?
A little bit of both.
Okay. I feel like we've talked about this before, but what was everybody's, like, feeling about Rise of the Beast?
Why did they kill Bumblebee? That was dumb.
Why did they kill him for over half the movie?
I mean, as a fun fact, Rise of the Beast is another Transformers movie stuck in development hell. It was supposed to come out like 3 years before it actually did.
That's not a surprise. It feels like a lot of the Transformers properties have kind of gotten stuck into a development hell.
Also, Optimus was way too grumpy in that movie.
I can agree with that. There was times where he felt like he could have let up a little bit on
humans in general.
Well, yeah, humans in general, but I'm thinking more along the lines of Mirage. I mean, I get it. Mirage is like this basically teenage Transformer who's kind of a punkhead learning how to do stuff yet, but there was times where it kind of felt like Optimus was just like, no, you're bad. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
Optimus gave me similar vibes to Luke Skywalker from The Last Jedi, and the fact that he was just written not in the way I would have liked.
Believe it or not, it was originally supposed to be worse. There is a deleted scene. Ask any Transformers fan about the iconic transit scene. The movie was supposed to start with Optimus brutally killing a Decepticon and then dropping his remains in the Hudson River. With the implicate on top of a pile of corpses, with the implication being is that there have been a bunch of Decepticons sent to Earth that Optimus has just been brutally killing.
Interesting.
That hashtag not my Optimus.
Yeah, that's not like anybody's Optimus. Optimus is supposed to be like,
give me your face.
No.
A straight up line, Optimus says in Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
So friendly reminder, he could be worse.
He could be a lot worse, but Optimus has always seemed more like he's supposed to be the voice of reason and the leader, which obviously he is the leader, but not the kind to, hey, I'm going to brutally murder you now.
But then that's one of the things that the Bay movies seem to lack is the proper use of, say, the Matrix of leadership, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah, there is that too.
I mean, there is the example of Optimus going, like, basically as close as you can get to crazy in Age of Extinction when they're taking on the KSI building.
To be fair, I can't say I entirely blame him.
Well, I don't blame him either. All of his best friends he's known for the last, like, 17 million millennia have all been killed and melted down for scrap.
Yeah.
So the way that they killed off some of everybody's beloved Transformers in that one kind of felt like a gut punch.
I mean, the implication is that they can theoretically come back. Their sparks are still intact.
Well, which, anybody can come back, as proven by Rise of the Beasts.
Yeah.
Will be.
I mean, if the spark is intact, any Transformer can theoretically come back because it is simultaneously their power source and their soul.
If we're being to be real here, Bumblebee's yes was dead, but his body was still intact. If we're talking
like it.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody really liked it, but if we're going along the lines more of how they were just melting bots down in Age of Extinction, and then you see Ratchet's head sitting on a table being torn to shreds.
Did you forget that the movie opens with Lockdown killing Ratchet?
No, I know that the movie opens with Lockdown killing Ratchet. That was one part of the movie that I, as I said before, kind of felt like a gut punch. But I get why they had to do it.
Yeah. Change of topic. Any G.I. Joe fans?
Wow, so we're really hard to...
I mean, I've played with my fair share of G.I. Joes growing up.
Go Joe.
The only thing I know is that Cobra and Starscream and G1 share the exact same voice actor.
Yep.
That's the end of my Joe knowledge, so.
I'm interested to see where they go with the future of live-action Transformers being that Rise of the Beasts introduced G.I. Joe at the end of the movie. I'm curious to see where they go with this.
Well, we don't know if they've abandoned the timeline or not. But, like, we
true.
Genuinely don't.
Well, there was just such a distinct drop in quality going from Bumblebee to Rise of the Beasts.
Yeah. Also, like, after how big of a flop TF1 was, Hasbro has officially said that they will license out their movies, but they will no longer financially support them. Transformers movies produced by Hasbro directly are done.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, and going back to TF1, we could talk about how bad the marketing was for that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember seeing a whole lot of marketing for that movie until, like, a couple weeks before it came out.
Yeah, that's one of the many issues cited with TF1, is how big of a fuck-up the marketing was.
And they all of the trailers just marketing. Showed them on the, like, overworld of the planet.
Yeah, there were very few trailers actually showing them inside of Iacon.
How many times did we see the trailer of the four of them trying to figure out how to use their cogs and tumbling down that mountainside?
That was the main trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which made it look like a goofy movie for five-year-olds.
It made it look like a very goofy movie for five-year-olds.
And the Bad Astatron clip did not help that.
Yeah, they put all of the goofy portions into the trailer. And kind of left all the serious portions out.
Which did make the movie that much better when you actually watched it, because your expectations were lower when you saw the trailer.
You were going into this, oh, it's another Transformers property, but it looks like a childish rendition. And then you get in there and you're like, oh, we're actually like, this isn't very childish at all. This has got interesting story on where they're going with it.
Yeah.
It just has the goofy portions to, I guess, appeal to the younger audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one massive issue with TF1, is just they did not know how to properly market it. So they just didn't market it. Like, I know Transformers fans probably, if they knew what the movie was actually about, the movie would have made a lot more money from Transformers fans, because this is something that the fandom has been demanding Hasbro do since Transformers movies as a concept was first introduced. Like, since we first learned that there was the chance of us getting movies for Transformers.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anybody else have anything they want to bring up and talk about?
Well, that's kind of why I said what I said. Cool.
Yeah.
Fill the silence there, but
I really like my Reinhardt Optimus Prime skin in Overwatch.
Fair, yeah.
And I guess kind of going on that topic, I have noticed a lot in the last few years, a lot of gaming properties have been doing collabs with Transformers.
What else do you have in mind?
What is it? Squad Busters, I think it is. Yeah, Squad Busters. I was playing that a bit when it came out, and since then I haven't played as much because I didn't really like the route they took with it. But they did a collaboration with Transformers, and you could unlock Optimus Prime, and then I think it was Alita 1, you could unlock them as playable characters, and They're actually kind of beasts in the game.
Hmm.
But, like, that, how you mentioned your Reinhardt skin, a couple years back we had the Fortnite skins.
True.
I've just noticed a lot more games are kind of taking on Transformers as a collaboration and crossover.
That I will let you know that outside of mobile games and a couple throwaway games, that is the best video game representation Transformers has gotten, and the only video game representation Transformers has gotten since Transformers Devastation, which came out in, let me look it up quick.
Probably something like 2014.
I have that disc. It was also it was also available 2015. Wow. 10 years ago.
10 years.
Reactivate should have been the saving grace.
I was excited for Reactivate to see how they were gonna do it.
I mean, the more and more we learn about Reactivate, the more and more clear it becomes. I don't even think the game was in development at all. I think they were just buying time to use the money that Hasbro was giving them.
You think they were just pushing stuff out to make it, oh yeah, we're making this game.
I mean, we got a single trailer and a bunch of concept art made by the official made by Hasbro designers. It's not that far of a leap to say they did not actually put effort in to make it actually, you know, happen.
It feels like that's quite a waste of money, though. I mean, didn't they put out some figures?
Two packs. And believe it or not, it costs less money to develop the figures than it does to sell them. So, you know what I mean. There is a reason Hasbro has been able to go on this long producing figures.
Yeah.
They have a system.
Hmm.
Makes sense, I guess.
Granted, we're probably going to be getting, Reactivate is probably going to be getting some more figures since Transformers implemented something called Studio Series concept art.
That could be cool.
That's how we got BBM Megatron, because Megatron never appeared in the Bumblebee movie. So that's how we got a toy of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was, like, a VR Transformers game that was released, like, a year or two ago now.
There was?
Huh.
Yeah. No clue if it's any good or not, but I know there was one.
Let me look it up, see if I can get some reviews on it.
I didn't even know one came out.
What platform was it on, do you remember?
I want to say it was on Oculus and PSVR, but I couldn't tell you that for sure off the top of my head.
Let's see. It looks like, let me go to the website for it. Transformers Beyond Reality. It says available now on PSVR and PSVR2.
Huh.
So just PlayStation.
Transformers Beyond Reality is a VR experience like never before. Fight as a human alongside your favorite Autobots in this jaw-dropping arcade-style first-person shooter. Take on hordes of Insecticons, battle epic Decepticons, and even travel to Cybertron as you fight to save both planets from annihilation.
You don't even get to play as the Autobots. You have to play as the humans.
Oh.
Interesting.
I think that's the point, though. Then you see, like, a bunch of the Autobots being big and running around. It's like you're a soldier on the ground of one of the Michael Bay movies.
Ah.
Looks like they have some photos just on the website. I can't really click on them, but I can zoom them in. I'm seeing... Who all do I see here? Megatron. I think... It looks like Bumblebee. Grimlock is in there. Obviously Optimus. Soundwave. And then I... why can't I remember... Is it... No, it's not Sideswipe. It's the female Jet Transformer from Robots in Disguise.
Windblade?
Yeah, Windblade.
You know what's weird? She was a fan vote character, and she's still so a little lesser known. Yeah, every aspect of her, down to her design, like her alt mode, where she comes from, her powers, all of that, are all voted by fans.
Interesting.
Huh.
Hasbro actually did another one of those recently, where you could vote to give a pre-established Transformers character a new alt mode. So everyone look forward to see Whale Shockwave in a few years.
Whale Shockwave.
I'm not kidding. There is concept art, and it looks really good.
Whale, huh?
Hang on, I need to...
So does that, like, take a whole new approach on... I don't even know where I'm going with this, but...
Give me a second and I can send you the designer concept art. Because the designer said this is the official concept art they're going to be using for making the toy.
You know what we could debate, Merce? Megatron should be redeemed as a hero or not, because that's something we've debated for a long time.
Depends on the continuity. It depends.
I kind of like that design.
Of the whale?
Yeah.
Shock whale.
That's a perfect name.
But yeah, it all depends on the continuity. Like, if Megatron's crimes are... just being a despot, then fine, he can easily be redeemed. But in series like IDW, it's a little bit more iffy, and the discussion is a lot more whether or not he deserves to even be redeemed, because he had a 6-step plan on how to commit planetary genocide that he exploited multiple times. I feel like we've crossed a point where morality is, like, a topic that seriously needs to be discussed.
At that point, there isn't much morality.
So there's not much to discuss.
No, yeah. That's time. That's a really cool concept design, I'd say, for Shock Whale.
Shock Whale. I love that name.
I think what's even funnier is the fact that in Hasbin Hotel, Vox's pet shark is named Shockwave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, shock.wav.
Oh, well, that's a nice little nod. Huh.
Yeah, I'm not going any more into that discussion because, I mean, Hasbin Hotel discussion is its own.
Yeah.
Bars.
Indeed. But we have hit approximately the 45-minute mark on this, actually. So... anybody have any closing thoughts regarding, like, where we are with Transformers at the moment? Like, is there anything you're looking forward to about it or really, really wish they would change?
Hey, Hasbro, if you're going to take Starscream's abuse seriously, stop immediately turning him into the series big bad, okay? It doesn't look good treating his abuse seriously and then implying that an abuse victim is bound to become a villain. That says very bad things about your opinions on abuse. Just saying. You don't need to cross that line all the time, but if you do, be careful so you don't accidentally tell a story like either you did in Earthrise of an abuse victim becoming as bad as his abuser once was, or in Prime, which is just the story about an abuse victim getting beaten so down he finally pushes forward and escapes, and the world just tells him, no, no, you need to turn back around and make nice with your abuser. Because the implications there are not nice. Yes, that is my issue with Prime right there, stated loud and clear. I do not like that it tells abuse victims, if you escape from your abuser, you'll regret having escaped.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Well, it's definitely not a good message.
Not a good message at all. Unpopular opinion, but based off the conversations we've had about the Bay films, and I know that The Last Knight kind of flopped towards the end of everything, I wish they would have closed out the story of Unicron.
The thing is, the Bay films were originally supposed to end with Dark of the Moon. And the reason...
Which would make sense.
And the reason why Michael Bay... Like, basically what happened was directorial sabotage. Age of Extinction and The Last Knight sucked as much as they did because Michael Bay did not want to make any more Transformers movies. He wanted to make nature documentaries. But Paramount kept telling him, you have to make these Transformers movies. So he decided, all right, I'll make them as bad as I can.
Nature documentaries.
That's unfortunate to hear. Yeah. No, I wish they would have closed out the story and not just left a big cliffhanger of, oh, here we are looking at the crowns of Unicron coming out of the desert, and then the human-looking Quintessa walks up and, well, I'll help you tell you how to make him do all this and come out.
Also, I've never liked Earth as Unicron. I just haven't.
Makes sense.
Makes Unicron a lot less intimidating.
When I think of, say, Earth as Unicron, it makes me think of the Eternals movie with all of the Celestials sitting in the middle of planets and then the emergence is happening.
Well, a part of the reason why that's more understandable, that's been an established thing since Celestials were a concept. The Unicron thing is just something they threw in and has only appeared in the Bay films and Prime. In every other continuity, Unicron is just his own metallic self floating in space.
No, that's just what it makes me think of when I think Unicron in the core of Earth. It makes me think of the Celestials being planted in the planet until it's time for them to arise. I know that Unicron is almost in every other continuity just a big floating being in space. But it's just what it makes me think of.
Well, I guess my big closing thing on Transformers is a really common opinion, and that's just focus less on the humans. There can be human characters, but just don't make them the highlight. That's not what we're here for.
Less on the humans, more on the bots.
Yeah.
That is the entire reason why, in my opinion, the two best pieces of Transformers media were Transformers Fall of Cybertron and War for Cybertron.
Cool.
Because they're just two games only on Cybertron.
Yeah, we need more kind of in the direction of how it's made with TF1, where we're just seeing mainly bots. We need more of that.
Hopefully we get more of that.
It'd be nice.
Well, let's see here. Am I the only one left?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, personally, just because I'm rebuilding my collection, I'm enjoying seeing what the toys are having to offer, especially the ones themed around specifically the 86 movie, because that's where my, you know, passion still lives. So it's been enjoyable watching those come out and watching for news about them.
Yeah. And I will just say, Hasbro, I mean, is in a bit of a renaissance when it comes to designing their Transformers. And apparently the reason behind why is every Transformers line tends to have a gimmick. The designers have straight up said, this era's gimmick is enhanced articulation. Like, for example, the Megatron that just came out, you know, full-on ankle tilts, waist swivel, articulate fingers.
Toothbrush time.
Like, if you would have told me back in the day I'd have a G1 Megatron toy with articulate fingers, I would not believe you.
You would have thought whoever's telling you that is crazy.
Yep. But lo and behold,
there it is. Yeah.
Here we are.
And that was the segment. So thank you. It was fun recording that one. We got to play some Civ at the same time. And as usual, if you want to leave a comment for the blog, podcast at flameflash.net, or show up on YouTube or any of the blog spaces, and please comment. Engage with the podcast. Engage with the show. Otherwise, please keep in mind that freedom and autonomy are the right of all sentient beings. Take care, travel safely, and see you next week with a more normal episode.